myself or not. But if I did, I interrupted something that was important. Now, will you folks in Toledo call and tell me what it was that I interrupted? Because I know if I interrupted myself, it was important. In the meantime, the rest of you that just joined, you call and tell me you're interested in finding out what I interrupted also. With enough pressure, I might continue the subject. Well, I saw Jerry the Fat and the wife who balances his bed in People magazine. And he said, I like to do things fast. That's my comment for this half hour on the religious mafioso. Now get on the telephone and tell me what I interrupted. Give me music now. One person to tell me the truth. Toledo, you interrupted yourself ranting and raving about the news media and the religious mafiosos. They need to hear some ranting and raving. But continue on church history, I'm very interested in it. And can you teach on the life of Paul? I will. I'm going to be hard to teach church history without teaching the life of Paul. I'm laying the broad matrix. Rudolph, Ohio, very interesting. We like this man. Continue to watch. Findlay, Ohio, this first time I've seen this guy. I'm a director of a ministry here in Ohio. I'm also a teacher on TV. What is this guy about? Is he for real? Well, if you can't figure it out faster than that, God help you. I teach on TV, and if I listen to you 5 minutes, I can figure out if you're for real. Toledo, Ohio. I'm watching this, but will you tell me what it is? I don't know. I've been trying to figure out for 57 years. I've seen TV evangelists, but none of them have ever caught me like this. Well, I ain't one. That's why. You know? I suppose there's a certain similarity in appearance between men in insane asylum and those out. TV evangelists, they're freakos. They're aberrations. I'm not one of them. Toledo, Ohio, I'm a faither. Glad you're back on the air. I never miss your prayer requests. Jesus said, Matthew 6, pray in secret. So your Heavenly Father can hear you in secret. Go in a closet and shut the door. After People magazine said Jerry Falwell did everything fast, next page shows him in a great big giant bedroom praying on a bed to take care of fat people. It was big enough, I'll tell you that. Little old poodle on it. And he's there praying on his knees, I guess he's praying. He's like, so. Talk about Pharisees doing it on the street corner to be seen him in. Some music, folks. Toledo, enjoy the program very much. Well, Michigan. I've been listening 15 minutes. This is radical, man. Well, it's awful when a normal man has appeared radical because so many freaks are on TV. Toledo, I don't see any communication. How does your program get support? I don't want any support from people I haven't taught. Don't you go sending any money unless I've taught you. I'm on a crusade to prove the value of teaching. I don't need any pantyhose products. I don't need any makeup. I also read in the People magazine that Jerry Falwell was, they gave the time before he went on TV, and he's in the makeup room and they're putting makeup on him. My Lord, if he looks that bad with makeup. I remember Oral Roberts' ex-daughter-in-law showed up here once to sing. First question she asked, where's the makeup room? My people said, what is that? Jerry Falwell with makeup. Does that suggest a little bit of imperfect vanity? Why would Jerry Falwell wear makeup? I mean, that's like an alligator brushing his teeth before he grabs you. Toledo, I do enjoy your show. You remind me of a Philadelphia lawyer or maybe a philosopher preacher. Well, thank God I'm not reminding you of a television evangelist. Toledo, I'm confused about tithing. Can you explain how I can tithe? We'll start out with 10%. Lima, Ohio. That's what the word tithe means, is a tenth. This is the third Sunday I've watched. You're great. I sure do enjoy you. I'm losing a lot of sleep, but you're worth it. Toledo, you interrupted the appeal for the case. You had read it, and your last words were victory for freedom-loving. God, help us. I now can figure out where I interrupted. Yes, for 11 years we have fought for a principle, and that is the right for people to give in secret, and against the tendency of government to come in heavy-handed in areas of First Amendment rights and trample on innocent people that are indirectly affected. And a couple of those who contribute to our work filed suit, were dismissed. After many years, the Ninth Circuit just reversed and remanded back down. And the Ninth Circuit confirmed the position that I have had. We paid a terrible price because I refused to let the FCC see the list of donors that we have. Anything else they could have, they got it. We even offered to give them the names and addresses of our donors, individual pledge slips with the names and addresses blotted out. But I drew a line, and whatever the price, said over my dead body. Matthew 6 says, give in secret, that your heavenly Father might reward you in secret. And if communists can protect the confidentiality of their members, the church certainly ought to be able to do it. And I took a stand and said that the names and addresses of our members would not be revealed. Somebody wanted to know, because I'd fired some people that, for cause, knowing my position on the government, tried to get me in trouble 11 years ago, and said I didn't build a fountain of faith. Well, it's there. You see it on TV all the time, and I'll baptize anybody in it that doesn't believe it's there and hold you down till you're convinced. And I said, anybody that needs to see the name and address of 10,700 people, now 45,000 people, to figure out if a fountain's there that's shooting out 30 gallons of water every hour, I think it is, it rotates it, 30,000 gallons, something like that. There it is. People say, what are those Greek letters? It's Basileos, Basileon. It's a symbol of our conviction that we will take the word of God and wash this old world with it until he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By television. with that globe being pierced with a television antenna. Stupid, that's the symbol of our faith. And some jerks that I fired, thinking they had something on me, because it didn't go up over a delay that we had, because when we started to build it, the city said it was a sign. And they wouldn't let us finish it because there was a zoning restriction on the number of signs. It took us 6 months to fight City Hall and convince them that it was a work of art. And by the way, we've just been selected as the landscaping king of the city. They gave the first award to Westcott at King's House One for landscaping improvements. But that was many years ago. And because they said it was a sign and the zoning restrictions wouldn't let another sign go in, we had to fight for 6 months to get permission to complete it because it is a work of art and is now so judged. Well, someone that had been fired for cause that ultimately got in trouble, including an ex-attorney that was disbarred, an ex-treasurer that had a fraudulent $100,000 note on this property that we got removed. Not seeing it go up, they thought, aha, I got something on Scott. Well, then the government wanted me to prove that I built it, even though the water was out there all the time we were fighting. The only way they would believe it was built was for me to give them, at the time, 10,700 names and addresses of our donors. Well, I said, up your nose with a shredding machine. They sent a subpoena and I burned it on TV. They said, turn it over, we'll take your licenses. We paid $150 million worth of licenses. I said, no deal, you take the licenses. But we argued that there should be a determination of the constitutional issue before the judgment that cost us so dearly. That before I would turn over those names and addresses, and I mocked them, I said, anybody needs to see the name of 10,700 names and addresses, anybody needs to see that to know there's a fountain of faith out there that's spurting 30,000 gallons of water, proves that they're like alley-oop. Their head, if it were x-rayed, it'd be solid bone, and we finally found the missing link, bureaucrats. And I got a 700-member monkey band that beat its little cymbals until you hit it on the head, and then it squawked like a hanging hyena. And I was the only man in the world that had the guts to talk back to this powerful agency, which caused our mayor to come and testify. That's what made him say, I'm with Gene Scott, Tom Bradley. But we fought a lot of fights and a lot of circuits. No one would hear the constitutional issue. Because like now, it was right after the Jimmy Jones affair, when all churchmen were whipping boys doing penance for that jerk turned communist that went down to South America. And I said I wouldn't do penance for what that idiot did, any more than I expect the next president to do penance for Iran scam. Now we got another jerk come along, lots of them, these TV evangelists. And every churchman or every person that gets on TV and even brings the word God up is suspect. I took my cues for TV from Fulton J. Sheen, not the way he dressed, but in the fact that he used television to communicate in a teaching way that didn't insult his audience intelligence. And when he got done, you knew he had said something. That's not the way most of these television evangelists use television. I don't know how many times I've heard Jerry Falwell, I don't know how many times I've heard Jimmy Swaggart, in each case too many times. There is nothing they've ever contributed to my knowledge about God or man All I hear is the same old shibboleths, the same old posturing, the same old judgmental pronouncements, the same pontifical look, the same asinine self-righteousness, the same stupidity that turned me off on the church when I was a kid growing up. I don't ever want to be in their camp. And I will not do penance for their mistakes. We don't do it the way they did it. They raise money the wrong way for the wrong reasons. I don't want any money from anybody for any project. I don't believe, though we are perfect, not only once, but three different times, three different organizations could grant you contribution credit. I don't believe in it. I don't want anybody giving to me and taking tax deduction, even though we're competent to give it, because Jesus said, do your giving in secret. And give for eternal reasons and as a testimonial or a response to what God's word means to you, as the woman with the alabaster box to the word made flesh, and the admonition in Galatians 6 to share materially with the one that taught you, and in so doing, you're sowing to the Spirit. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't give for eternal reasons and take tax deduction. And don't give me all these, use the reason to justify the sins you want to do by saying, well, that lets me give more to God, all baloney. You give to God what already belongs to him, or you're a thief and a robber and you're under a curse. And when you give God's money, God's way, he promises to bless you. And I want no support from any other source for any other reason. That's the old-fashioned way. It goes clear back to Abraham, and that's good enough for me. So I don't want to be put in a camp with the rest of them. And we have paid a price for freedom, and thank God in the midst of this faux pas of the TV evangelist, if not the most prestigious, one of the most prestigious circuits in America, the Ninth Circuit, just ruled and reversed a dismissal of the case of two contributors to this ministry and sent it back, remanded it back for trial, which means it can go on to a jury trial if it proceeds, and I think it will. And the decision of the Ninth Circuit was that people, third parties, indirectly affected what the government is doing with another party, their religious rights are not so bizarre as to not qualify for First Amendment protection, and there is an encroachment on their rights, and they have standing to sue if they are indirectly violated by something done between the government and somebody else, and they sent it back commanding that the lower court understand that the religious rights of these people must be balanced in relationship to the government's need to know, and whether or not an alternative exists that is of lesser offense to the First Amendment before any judgment at the lower level is made. And that's all we've been saying for 11 years, and that's what I'm screaming about now. The poor PTL contributors were the victims in the first place, and now they're being made a victim again as Jerry Falwell serves his own spiritual pompous self-imagery and makes his friendships with the forces of Antichrist called a government, as he gives the key and lets them come in and violate the confidentiality of the thousands who have contributed to PTL, and they're the innocent victims again. And that's what I'm screaming out against. Don't give the store away. There are some hard-fought religious rights that are going to be given away by these jerks trying to serve their own imagery. That's what I was ranting and raving about. Sure glad I've finished it now. Yeah. Or for the time being. Now, music. In another 5 minutes, I want to start teaching on church history. Lima, what is this gentleman talking about? Well, thank you for calling me a gentleman. Glad to see you back in Tulsa. I'll be on every night. We're back on Tulsa Cable. By the way, if all goes well, we'll be tomorrow night on another station in San Francisco. What is it, 48? Huh? What, are we a week delayed on it? Well, we'll talk about it then when the week rolls around. We're not changing 38, we're just adding another station. Toledo, Ohio, what kind of doctorate do you have? It's a PhD from Stanford University, Philosophies of Education. Bowling Green, Ohio, what's his name? Gene. Now I got people fighting up in Ohio. Lima, Ohio, I just want to let you know that guy from Finley's crazy. I figure he must be if he can't figure out what this is. From one Ohioan to another Ohioan. Toledo, I heard Doc Scott say he's not a TV evangelist. How would he describe what he is? I'm a man. He's very different, obviously, from only from TV evangelists. Sounds very intelligent. There's the difference. Lima, Ohio. These Ohio people are nice. They call. Man, I'm telling you, I hate to go in a city where everybody has lost their mouth. Lima, Ohio, and their ears. We know you're not an evangelist. You don't scream, cry, or beg. Right on two of them. I don't cry or beg, but don't count on me not screaming. I hear a lot of people here in Toledo talking about Dr. Scott. Well, only tell me the good things they say. I don't want to hear the rest of it. People say bad things, just, you know, they lower the IQ of your city, so don't admit it. Did you get that magazine or not? I mean, you know, this People magazine's got a picture of Jerry Falwell. First, he's racing his, was it brother-in-law's speedboat? His wife's hanging on. Then the next page, he's on his knees praying in his big master bedroom. Now you know that that was not taken with a telescopic camera. I mean, they came in his bedroom and watched him pray. It was praying for the benefit of the camera. I mean, at least he's on his knees. I mean, with Jerry, I can't think of anything you'd do on your knees in your bedroom except pray. Particularly on the floor. I'll let you be the judge when I show you the picture. You got a poodle on the bed. Now on the cover is this woman that Gary Hart fell over. And they're trying to display her in such a way that the world will understand what he fell over. I think it's rather ironic. What you see on the cover of the magazine of Donna Rice, and then Jerry Falwell willingly displaying his praying posture in the same magazine. One has to wonder what depths to which Jerry will stoop to make copy. Play some music. cool. My son has told me about you, and he was right. Little Rock, Arkansas. I like what he says about Jerry Falwell, but I don't understand how he can smoke a cigar on TV. Well, wait a minute, I'll show you. You get it? Like this. And you lick it. And then you circumcise it. And then you light it. And you twirl it while you're lighting it. Then you blow on it to see if it's even. There, and you smoke it. Now I'm teaching on church history, cigar and all. And we are finding out that the church has always had problems because it has people in it. Now most people think the doctrine of the Trinity was taught to Adam and Eve in the garden. Maybe it was, because it says Elohim came down in the evening and walked and talked with them. That's a plural word. Not El, but Elohim. Some people think that the doctrine of the Trinity was taught on the Mount of Beatitudes. It wasn't. It came out of the church's reaction to the controversies of the first century and the debates over Christ's nature that began to replace the simple preaching of grace and peace and faith as the means of triggering God's deposit of His Spirit in us, His life that can change us. And spirituality is literally the expressions of the Spirit, God being Himself in and through us. Now, we've studied the Council of Nicaea, as I jumped ahead a bit in the teaching. You got me tickled, made me laugh. You shouldn't do that. Then I got a voice problem when I laugh. You talk all day, can't laugh 2 minutes. Then we saw the Council of Nicaea. It was very much like a gathering of the board at Charlotte. It was designed to kick some people out and put others in. The excuse was homoousion. Nobody knew what it meant, so you could get away with it a little better. Wasn't half as glamorous. If they'd had sex and money. But they didn't dare bring up sex, because Origen, just a short time before, was so influential, and he had castrated himself. So they stayed off that subject. Yeah. And money, the government was paying the bill for their whole entourage to come in at government expense and stay in the palace at Nicaea. My Lord. That's like going to Venice and complaining about the bed they flew in for Nancy. I understand on the news tonight they said they wouldn't fly that bed to the next place. But we'll see, won't we? Within 56 years after the Council of Nicaea, they had to have another one, in order to tell the world that they had meant what they said at Nicaea. Why did they need to say, after 56 years, what we said at Nicaea is our position. We got that magazine yet? Praise God, right. I got to show you this. That's the wrong one. That's the wrong one, man. What's the matter with you? Does that look like the girlfriend that Gary Hart went down with? Save the whales. Donna Rice. Oliver is on the cover of the one you're looking for. Back to the Council of Nicaea, something exciting. There ain't no way I can start teaching right now. Everybody at home is calling everybody in to tell them what I just said. So play one more song while everybody calms down, then I'll teach.
Someday you'll be sorry. The way you treated me was wrong, but I was the one who taught you all, you know. Your little old friend said you to make me sing another song. So good luck maybe with you, and may your future you won't fear. Dear, there won't be another to treat you like a brother. Someday you'll be sorry, dear. Look at your mama, someday you'll be sorry. The way you treated me was wrong. Honey, I was the one who taught you all you know. Your little old friend said you to make me sing another song. Mama, good luck, maybe with you. And may your future you won't fear. Dear, there won't be another to treat you like a brother. Broken record. Take it from me, take it from me, take it from me, take it from me, take it from me.
Peru, I apologized. I apologized last week and forgot again, called it Lima, Ohio this week. It's Lima, Ohio. Like Lima beans. Thank you for correcting me. I do want to pronounce your city correctly. Why did they have this council at Constantinople 56 years later to reaffirm what they supposedly settled in 325? Because the preachers were fighting for territory just like they are now. That's why we're studying it. But I'm going to have a new audience in 6 minutes, so rather than starting and quitting, I'll just let you talk for 6 minutes. And I will, right after 10 o'clock West Coast time, we'll dive into the Council at Constantinople. Music. Dayton, Ohio. Will you be aired more than one night a week here? Well, not yet. I love your teaching on church history. What'll you be teaching on next after church history? Only the Lord knows. What kind of cigars do you smoke? Calixto Lopez. Plano, Texas. Passes a joke on for Doc. Says, the Gary Hart campaign finally figured out where Gary went wrong. He should have had Donna Rice driven home by Ted Kennedy. That's cold. Music, please. Okay, I'm reading from The Church in Crisis. It always has been. A history of the General Councils from 325 to 1870. Should say 1980 for the period in crisis. This book only covers the portion from 325 to 1870. Constantine became Emperor of the combined Roman Empire by a marvelous Christian act. He killed his brother-in-law. After receiving the vision, by this cross will you conquer? He conquered, all right. He killed his brother-in-law. Lots of other people en route. Move the capital to Constantinople, building a new city there. Nicomedia had been the capital before. This cigar keeps leaking in my mouth. Get a new circumciser. It's dull. Should have cutting it clean, it tore it. As the new emperor, he wanted peace in his empire. And he told the preachers to get it together and come to Nicaea at his expense and settle the controversy that was raging between those of the Arian persuasion that still carried the primitive Christian and late Jewish apocalyptic view of Christ, known as angel Christology, where Christ was seen as subordinate to the Father, chosen by the Father from the ranks of the angels to become what he was anointed to be by the resurrection. Subordinate to God, the one God, and of the angel company. Arian had that view. Constantine was sympathetic to it. His closer friends were even sympathetic to it. They came with 22 pro votes to the Council of Nicaea, and an emperor that had just united the kingdom by force and killed his brother-in-law, who was the Eastern emperor. A bunch of preachers could find plenty of spiritual reasons to go at his expense to Nicaea and settle this issue. To everybody's surprise, the powers led by the voice of the church at Alexandria and his protege, Alexander, the bishop at Alexandria, his protege, Athanasius, were carrying the day, and being the politician that he was, and peace being the objective, Eusebius church historian in favor with the emperor, joined forces with those that suggested the idea of homoousios, Christ of the same nature as the Father, same substance, not similar but same. And they pronounced an anathema on Arius, and they were banished. But 56 years later, they had to do it again. Why? Well, on the day after the Council of Nicaea, three bishops revoked their signatures to the condemnation of Arius. Powerful neighboring sees, Nicaea, Nicomedia, and Chalcedon. Nicomedia, the suburbs of what would be Constantinople. Eusebius was the powerful bishop there, not Eusebius the historian, who's known as Eusebius of Caesarea, but Eusebius of Nicomedia, who will be appointed bishop of the new city, Constantinople. You're going to see church politics take over. The followers of the Nicene Creed were in power. The Arians had been banished. Eusebius, having been taught by the same teacher at Antioch that was the source of many of these ideas. And we haven't gone back to Antioch in tracing the history. We've traced it through Jerusalem, through Alexandria. We haven't traced it through Rome, the British Empire, Spain, or Antioch. Eusebius of Nicomedia became the bishop of the new capital city, Constantinople. He could